The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas Parashas Bo. We haven't given a shiur for quite some time, because even at the end of the last month, the shiurim that we did give were not on the Parshas HaShavua, the last two shiurim. And Parshas Bo being right in the middle of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story of the Exodus, let's take something this evening that perhaps will give us some type of review of the past several sedras. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bo, Shmei Shud Beis Posuk Mem, U'meishav b'nei Yisrael asher yoshvu b'mitzrayim shleishim shona ve'arba me'a shona. And the children of Israel dwelled in Egypt for 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, on this very day, Yotzu Kol Tzivos Hashem Eretz Mitzrayim, all of the hosts of Hashem went out of Egypt. Leil Shmurim Hu Lashem. This is a guarded night for Hashem, La Yitzio Meretz Mitzrayim, to take them out of Mitzrayim. Hu Halaylo Azel Hashem Shmurim Lachol Bnei Yisrael Ederison. And this night is set aside and guarded to all of the children of Israel forever. And Rashi tells us that this, that the Torah says that for 430 years Israel was in Egypt, is not exactly correct. Because according to any calculations, it doesn't work out that they were there 430 years. The fact is they were not there not even 400 years. Actually, in Egypt, from the time that Yaakov went down with his children to this day that they went out was 210 years. The 400 years was the decree which the Almighty made to Abraham that his children would be strangers in a land which is not theirs. And that started from before, as we'll see shortly. So what is the 430 years? 430 years is from the time of the Bris Ben Abesorim, when Hashem came to Abraham and made this decree. And that is the very source of the whole story of Egypt. This is your Shadish. And why this night? This night was the 15th of Nisan. It's the night of the Exodus, and it's the night when we celebrate Pesach. So Rashi brings because it was on this night, it was on this day, the 15th of Nisan, when the angels came to Abraham to announce to him and Sarah, that they are going to have a son. It was on this day, the 15th of Nisan, when the following year Yitzchok was born. And it was on this day that the decree was given to Abraham that his children would be strangers and enslaved and afflicted in a land which is not theirs. And that is called the Bris Ben Abesorim. And Kivan Shehigiyah HaKeitz LeIkvon HaMokim Kerev Ayin. Once this day came, and this was the day when the decree was completed, then the Almighty did not wait for the wink of an eye, and immediately he took them out. Now the source for this, as we mentioned, is the Bris Ben Abesorim, which is in Parshas Lech Lecho. Parshas Lech Lecho, Perek Tes Vov, Pasuk Gimel Dalet Hey. Kodesh Baruch Hu came to Abraham and he gave him big promises, that your children will be like the stars of the heaven and so forth. And Abraham said, "Heinli lenosato zora v'hinei ber beisi yerish esi. I do not even have a son. I only have a faithful servant." So the Almighty said, "Le yirosh kazeh. This one will not inherit you. Ki masher yetzi mimeecho hu yirosh echo. The child that you will give birth to, he will inherit you." And then he took Abraham out and he showed him the stars of the heaven, and he said that this is how your nation will be, Behemin Bashem, and Avraham believed him. Bachshevel Leil Stoker, and this HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him great credit for the belief. Then Hashem said, Ani Hashem Arsher Haitzeisicho Mirkazdim Loseis Lachoyas Oretz Hazois Lirishto. I have taken you out of your homeland, the land that you came from, Ur Kasdim. This is the land that you were born in, with Terach. And I have taken you out to bring you to this land, Eretz Yisrael, and to give it to you as an inheritance forever. Vayemar Hashem Elokim b'moed ki yirashenu. On that Abraham said, how do I know that I will inherit this land? There's a question in the commentaries. Did Abraham actually not believe, or Shaleh Eis, was he looking for some type of sign? Give me some type of sign, some type of, show me some proof that I will inherit the land. Or he was asking, with what schus, through what merit will my children retain such a land? Eretz Yisrael, such a beautiful land, such a special land, with what schus will they retain it? At this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Abraham and he told him to bring sacrifices. And then all of a sudden, Vayi Hashem Shlovoves Hademon Ofla al Abraham. The sun set and there came great darkness, and Eima Hashecha Gedele Nefela Solov. And a great fear fell upon him. And then Abraham was given a prophecy. Yodea Teida Ki Geri Yezaach Oberes Leilohem. That you should know that your children will be strangers in a land which is not theirs. And they will be enslaved there, and they will afflict them. Arba Me'a Shona, for 400 years. Regames Hagaya Asher Yavedu Don Anechi. But the nation that will do this to them, I shall judge, and afterwards you will go out with a great wealth. And you will die in good age with Nachas. And the fourth generation, after going down to Egypt, will return to this land, and then you will inherit this land, Eretz Yisrael. See, here, the decree was made. Evidently, before coming to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, and to be charged with this great mission of bringing Torah to an entire world, and before coming to Eretz Yisrael and coming to the level where they would be worthy of Eretz Yisrael, they would have to go through a kifshon ha'esh, a fiery furnace of being aliens, of being slaves, of being afflicted, before the seed of Abraham will be capable and worthy of this task. And the number given here was 400 years. So the Chazal, our sages, teach us they were not 400 years actually in Egypt, they were only 210. But the decree was that your sons will be aliens in a land which is not theirs. So from the time Yitzchok was born, and they were aliens, they were strangers in a land which was not theirs, even though they were in Eretz Yisrael, it was not theirs yet, and they were strangers and among strange people. So the Almighty Chishev Es HaKeitz, he started to calculate the decree from them. Instead of waiting till the people came to Egypt and to count 400 years, he started to count to 400 years from the time Geri Yezaracho, when Abraham would have seed, and that was the birth of Yitzchok. And actually that explains to us another thing as to why the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, was on Pesach, on the 15th of Nisan. Because if the calculation started with the birth of Yitzchok, Yitzchok was born on Pesach, on the 15th of Nisan. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz, and when the 15th of Nisan came out again, 400 years from the time Yitzchok was born, so Le'ikvon Kerefai, and he didn't wait 1 second, Lil Shmurim, it was a night which was set aside that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting when it should come, and he took Klal Yisrael out. So this is our source. Now we find that they didn't go down to Egypt so simply. It was also a great plan which was mastered by the Almighty. It starts in Parshas Vayeshev. I believe this is one of the sedras we didn't have the opportunity this year to say a shir on. In Parshas Vayeshev, Lamed Zayin, Posuk Yud Dalet, Yaakov's sons went off with the sheep. And Yaakov was a bit concerned about them, so he told Yosef, he said, go and find out what's happening. Go and see how they are, if everything is peaceful and if everything is well with the sheep, and report back to me. And he sent him to the valley of Hebron, to the depths of Hebron, and then he came to Shechem. And then the story continues that when he came to his brethren, so they started to say that here the Balachalemus is coming, the dreamer is coming, the one who's having dreams, that he will become the king over us and he will be the leader. Let's take revenge from him, let's kill him. And the end was they didn't kill him, but they sold him to Egypt. Now the sages ask, what does it mean that he sent him to the depths of Hebron? Hebron is in a mountain. Hebron is high up, it's not a valley. So the Chazal tell us Rashi brings Me'etza hamukah shalaysay tzadik hakover b'chebron. Me'em Hebron, he was sent to Hebron because of another depth, not the depths of Hebron, but because the depth of a master plan of, why Hebron? Of someone who's born in, someone who's buried in Hebron. What was found in Hebron? The Moris Machpelah, the cave of Machpelah. And there Abraham was buried. And through the master plan, the depth of the master plan, which evolved around Abraham, that the Almighty promised to him, decreed to him that your sons will go into a land which is not theirs, this was the beginning, this was the unfolding of that plan. So that's why it's called here Me'emech Hebron, from the depths of the one who lies in Hebron. The Kayim Hashanem Al Avraham Ben Absorim, to fulfill what Hashem said to Avraham, that your seed will be strangers in a land which is not theirs. And Yosef was sent down. Then we find in the next parsha, in Parshas Miketz, in Mem Beis Posuk Aleph, Ayar Yaakov ki yeshev b'Mitzrayim. Yaakov saw that there was food in Egypt. He saw this through Ruach HaKodesh, through prophecy. Vayomer Yaakov levonav, and he said to his sons, Lomet Yisroel, why should we wait? Why should we act as if we have food? Food is running out. There's a famine, but I know there's food in Egypt. Go down and buy grain there, and then we will live and not die. So 10 sons of Yaakov went down to Egypt. So we see that the shibud, the yerida, the going down to Egypt, was in stages. First Yosef went down. Now the 10 sons of Yaakov are following. And when he said, Redu, go down, so the Chazal tell us that actually he prophesied to them, not knowing consciously what he was prophesying. When he said, go down, Redu, Redu is the gematri of 210. Go down for 210 years. This Yerido is going to be there for 210 years. So they went down. So now Yosef was in Mitzrayim and the 10 sons. Then the story continues. Back and forth until they found out that the king of Egypt or the viceroy was Yosef, the brother. And then he said, go send to for our father and bring him down, and I'll give him two Eretz Mitzrayim. I'll give him from the best of Egypt, Goshen, which was Ramses, and I will take care of him. Why should he stay where he is? There's a famine there. And he went to Paray, and Paray sent wagons for him, and he told him, bring your father down with your entire family. So tells us in Parshas Vayigash, that's in the next Sedra, in Mem Vov Posuk Aleph, Vayisa Yisrael V'chol Asheloi, that Yaakov went down with everything that he had, uprooted himself completely now, went down to Egypt. He came to Beersheba. Before he was going out of Eretz Yisrael, he came to Beersheba. There he Vayizbach Zvochim, there he made an altar and sacrificed to Hashem. And Hashem came to him and he said, Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomeh Hineni. Do not fear from going down. From here, this implies that Yaakov was afraid. He was afraid for two reasons. First of all, Rashi tells us he was worried that he had to leave Eretz Yisrael. He didn't like the idea of going out of Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, he perhaps was afraid that this might be the decree, the fulfillment of the decree that was given to Avraham. Even though he was going down there on a good note, that the king of Egypt himself had sent for him, and his son was the vice king of Egypt, and he was going down, they said, al tochusu al kelecho, don't worry to bring anything with you. But he was afraid. So Hashem said, do not fear, ki legoi godol asim choshom, because there you will become a mighty nation. This that you're going down is ultimately for your good. I will go down with you. The Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, went with him. And I will bring you up. And Yosef Yoshish Yode Aleinecho, and Yosef will be the one who will bury you. So Yaakov got up, and he took his wives, and he took his children, and he took everything that he had with him, and he went down to Egypt. And it states, Kol hanefesh leveish Yaakov abo Mitzrayim shivim. Together with 70 souls, the entire house of Yaakov, he went down to Egypt. Now here we have the stages of the Yeridah Mitzrayim, how they went down. The sages tell us as Hashem brings in Perek Yud Aleph, Rabbi Achyo Omar and Bereshis Rabbah Perek Peivov. Rabbi Achyo said, "B'shem Rabbi Yud Bar Shimon, Moshe LePorashoy Yemeshkin Yisrael Makulin." An example that when you want to take a cow to the marketplace, you want to have it shechted and sold for meat, and the cow doesn't want to go. Either the cow senses danger consciously or subconsciously, the cow senses danger, so he's not going. So what do? Ma'osulei moshku es benole fonel va'yisum alachas acharav al kocho shalei betev osa. So you take the calf, its calf, and you lead its calf in front of her, and then she follows. Even though she knows that she shouldn't follow, she follows. Kach roi ho Yaakov l'eretz Mitzrayim b'shul shilah shel barzel b'kulri. So was it with Yaakov. Really, Yaakov should have been taken down to Egypt in chains, because this was a decree, this was not a festival. This was a decree that they should be aliens and they should be subjected and they should be afflicted. So Yaakov should have been taken down in chains. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take him down where the king of Egypt himself gave him a personal invitation? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'ni b'cheri hu v'ani neig b'minig b'zayin. Yaakov is my b'chor, Yaakov is my firstborn, and I will treat him in a disgraceful manner. I will treat him as a prisoner. So therefore, eini meirido b'pumbi, I will not take him down publicly as slaves. Elaharini meshich has b'nei lefonov. I'll bring his son first. V'hu yorachro v'al koche shalei b'tei b'esai. And because his son is there, he will follow. Even though he doesn't want to, he will follow. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Yosef down, and then Yosef drew everyone else with him. And not only I won't send them down as slaves in chains, in balls and chains, I'll send them down as a dignitary, but I will go with them. How do we know that Hashem will go with them? Because it states, Vayhi Hashem es Yosef. Hashem was with Yosef. Hashem already went down together with Yosef, waiting for Yaakov. So from here we see that the whole plan of the Yerida to go down was not just something that just happened. It was a master plan. And it carefully unfolded. It started with Yosef, and then with the brethren, and then finally with Yaakov. And in the beginning it was done with a festivity. Yaakov was a celebrity. The minute he came down, Yosef met him. It says that Yosef went and saddled his chariot himself, and he went out to meet him. And Yosef was very, very powerful, because not only was he the king of Egypt, and not only he had bought all of Egypt from Paray, but it states that he was Yalakit Kol Kesef Shebailu. He had gathered up all of the money in the world, because the whole world came to buy. This was the only place in the world that had grain, and they all came to buy, and he gathered into the treasury houses of Paray all of the money in the world. This is what the Gemara tells us in Masechta Pesachim. And Yaakov came, and immediately he was taken for an audience to Paray, and he was given the best land in Egypt. So this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them down. Now came the other part, when the shibud, when the affliction started to begin. The Gemara tells us that on Pesach we eat moror, say, the bitter herb. And the Gemara brings that one of the plants, one of the plants that we should eat is a type of plant which is sweet to begin with and bitter later on. Why? Because this was the Yeridas Mitzrayim. The going down to Egypt was sweet in the beginning and bitter later on. Like we saw now that it was sweet, but then it began to become bitter. So we go now into the second stage, which was the actual shibud, the enslavement in Mitzrayim. At the end of Parshas Vayechi, at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, which is the last sedra in Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis, states Vayechi Yaakov beretz Mitzrayim 17 shana. Yaakov lived in Egypt for 17 years. 17 good years went by, where Klal Yisrael, Yaakov and his family, had the best of two Eretz Mitzrayim, the best of Egypt. Yaakov lived for 17 years, and then was coming time for him to die. So Rashi brings from the sages, Loma Parsha Zustuma. This Parsha begins without any indentation. It's a closed chapter in the Torah, not like other chapters. Why? Shekiven shedifte Yaakov vivinu nistmu einehem libam shel Yisrael mitzores hashibutz yischilu lashabdom. Because once Yaakov died, then the enslavement started to begin. Before then was only good. But when Yaakov died, their eyes became closed from the Tzoras. Therefore, this reflects itself in the writing of the Sefer Torah, where this chapter is written closed. So we see that this began with Yaakov. Now this also, the Shibud also, was in stages. Because in the next parsha, in Parsha Shmos, then it tells us at the beginning of Parsha Shmos, Vayomas Yosef v'chol echov. This is Posik Vov. Vayomas Yosef v'chol echov v'chol hadorahu. Yosef died, and all of his brethren died, and the entire generation. Uvnei Yisrael poru v'yishutsu v'yirbu v'yatzmu b'mayid me'od. And the children of Israel started to multiply tremendously, very rapidly, until they became very mighty and tremendous number. Vatimalei ha'oretz eshom, and the land was filled up with them. Vayokom melechodesh ha'mitzroim asher leyodesh Yosef. And a new king rose up that did not know Yosef. Vayemer al'am ve'ine'am b'nei Yisrael avotzu mimenu. And he said, this nation is becoming stronger than us. Hovo nishak malei. Let us take counsel against them, lest they will become stronger than us and they will align themselves with our enemies. Now, Vayokom melechodesh asher leyodesh Yosef, a new king rose up that did not know Yosef. So the Gemara Masechta Seitan brings, either it was a new king or it was the same king, but had decided to forget about Yosef. But at any rate, this only happened after Yosef died. These decrees, Loman Ishak Maloi, let us take counsel against them and decide what to do. And he asked all of his counselors, and they decided, Vayasimol of Sarimisim, they will place taskmasters over them, Laman Ainesim Bisim Leisim, to give them heavy yokes, heavy burdens. And they built for them great store cities. By Avidu ben Mitzrayim's Bnei Yisrael Beforech, and they enslaved them with slave labor. By Yemoreru es Chayehem by the Kosher, and they embittered their lives with hard labor. Chayme Vilveinim v'chol Aveda Besode, all types of labor in the fields. This all took place after the death of Yosef. And then, in Parshas Va'era, the Torah makes account of the people of the generations that were in Egypt, and it mentions in Posuk Tes Zayin, Shmeizbov Posuk Tes Zayin, Shnei Chayei Levi, how old Levi was. And Rashi brings Loma Nimna Shnei Sor Shel Levi. Why was Levi's years counted? Because he lived longer than all of the brothers. Kami Yemei Ashibut, to tell us for how long was the enslavement. She calls Man Shechod Min Ashvotim Kaim Lehoi Ashibut, because as long as one of the sons was living, one of the original sons was living, then there was no enslavement. It only happened after the last one died, and the last one was Levi. That's why the Torah gives us the number of Levi's years in order that we can calculate how long the enslavement was. And then we see also by Yemoreru, the embitterness came even later. And the sages tell us that was not until the birth of Miriam. When Miriam was born, then there became greater bitterness because of the decrees of Pare. And this is why she was called Miriam. Hashem Shemoreru Meiruru Eschayehem, because they embittered our lives. So we see that the enslavement also was in stages. What is the interpretation of this? The Gevuras Hashem explains this in Perek Yud Beis. Yud Beis. As long as Yaakov was living, it was impossible for Egypt to, in any degree, subjugate Israel. Yaakov was too much of a giant, too great of a spiritual figure for Parai or for Egypt to have any influence over. So therefore the 17 years that Yaakov lived, these were good years. And this was two Eretz Mitzrayim, he had the best of Egypt. Once he died, then Motzo Pesach, then there was an entry. And the Tzoras began. And that's why when he died, the Torah writes Parshas Vayechi without any indentation, because Nistamei Nehem, because their eyes became closed from the Tzoras which then began. But the Tzoras also were to a minor degree, because Yosef was still living. And Yosef filled the place of Yaakov. As long as Yosef lived, he was the protector, physically and spiritually the protector of Klal Yisrael, where Egypt could have no influence over them. So it was to a degree. By Yomos Yosef, when Yosef died, then again there was a greater opportunity now to subjugate Klal Yisrael. But still they were the brothers. And the brothers of the original generation, the 12 brothers, these were all in the stature of Yaakov Avinu. All of the brachas that Yaakov had, he gave to his 12 sons. And it's true that each one alone was not as great as Yaakov, but all 12 together encompassed his brachas. So therefore, Egypt could not become a master over them completely. But it was after Vayomos Yosef, V'chol Echol, V'chol Hadorahu, when Yosef died and all of his brethren and the original generation that came down, the 70 people, then Vayoko Melech Chodesh, then a new king rose up with new decrees, and from there on the Shibud took full strength. Now we find another interesting note, that after the original generation died, it states, they started to give birth at a tremendous pace. From 70 people, which was the original generation, in a short period of time, they developed to 600,000 males between 20 and 60. This doesn't include their wives. This doesn't include people under 20 or over 60. And this does not include the young children under 20, which they had in great numbers. The Medrash tells us they had 6 at a time, or 12 at a time, or 60 at a time. So they were literally, was because it says the Yishutsu, they gave birth like the reptiles gave birth. Huge amounts. So when it came time, in a short period of time, they were growing, and eventually they grew into millions of people. And even more than that, because the 600,000 are those that went out. States that 4/5 remained in Egypt, never went out, because they didn't believe in the miracles, and they didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming to redeem them. So it's no wonder that Paray was becoming quite concerned. All of a sudden, here he invited a guest family down. The family came. And all of a sudden, they're multiplying, and it's millions upon millions. So he had cause to be concerned. Now, the Maral writes, why, though, do we find only here did they multiply? Before, they didn't. It was only after this generation died off, then they multiplied. The answer is because this generation, Yaakov, this represented the perfection of Israel. 70 people. In other words, these 70 encompassed all of the brachas of Klal Yisrael. The sages tell us, why were there 70 in Yaakov's family? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created 70 nations and Yisrael. By Noah's children, if there are counted 70 generations, 70 nations that came from Noah's children. The 70 nations of the world and Yisrael. And Yisrael was 70 people, parallel to the 70 nations of the world. So these people were such giants that they encompassed all of the qualities of Israel with a number of 70. But once this generation died off, then it took 600,000. 600,000 males, which we see consistently, that there were 600,000 that went out and 600,000 that were counted later. It took 600,000 males between 20 and 60, together with their wives, and together with the young and the old, in order to encompass what Yaakov gave to his 12 sons and his family. That's why, as long as that generation was alive, it wasn't necessary to have such rapid multiplication. But once they died, then the Torah tells us it was necessary for them to multiply till they became again the perfection of Klal Yisrael. Then we find a stage a little later, Vayimoreru es chayehem, that the Almighty embittered, the Parah embittered their lives. And the Chazal says, as we mentioned, this was at the time of the birth of Miriam. Why did it reach another stage? So this we mentioned on Shabbos. Because the birth of Miriam represented now the entry of a new stage. Till now we were speaking of the stage of the Shibud, of the enslavement and the affliction. Now we come to enter the stage of the Geula, of the redemption. Miriam was the first redeemer that was born. Took three to bring Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. Miriam, who was the oldest, then Aaron, and then Moshe. So at the point that Miriam was born, there became the greatest conflict. Because the greatest resistance was then. When you have resistance, when you have two forces going in opposite direction, then you have conflict. Till now, there wasn't such conflict. Because Yaakov and his generation wasn't here anymore, and there was the overpowering of Egypt. But once Miriam was born, there became now a spiritual conflict. Two spiritual forces, the forces of Egypt and the forces of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the greatest resistance was here, and that's when there was Vayimoreru es chayehem. They embittered their lives. One other point, which is worthy to mention here, in the pasuk that we mentioned, Vayomer al Amoy, that he said to his nation, Parah said to his nations, the Gemara in Masechta Seita brings on Daf Yud Aleph, Tano hu hiskel be'etzot tchilo. He's the one who started. The people didn't come and say we should do something. Vayomer al Amoy, he said we should do something. He is the one who initiated. Therefore it states that he will be paid first. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the makos, he brought the plagues, they always struck Parah first. For example, when he brought the plagues of the Tzpadei, of the frogs, so he said that they will go bechor to you and into your houses and to your servants and to your nations, but first with Parah, because he is the one who initiated the trouble against Israel. Now this is a deep thought, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was giving the seed of Abraham into slavery, he would not give them into a nation, to a nation of slaves. He would give them only over to a king, and therefore he gave them only over to Parah, not to a nation of slaves. And that's why we find that Parah was the one who initiated all of the enslavement and all of the problems, not the nation, because he would, Hashem, the Almighty, would not give his nation over to become enslaved by other slaves. We have a similarity to this in the Gemara in Gittin and Perek HaMizrokim. When Yerushalayim was in siege and Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai went out of the gates to negotiate with the general of the Romans, so he addressed him as a king, as the Caesar. And he told him, he said, firstly, I'm not the Caesar. Secondly, he said, that you should be punished with death. It's treason, because the Caesar is in Rome. While he was speaking, a messenger came, and brought him a message that the Caesar had died. This general now has been appointed the king. So he asked Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, how did you know this? He said, because we have a prophecy that Yerushalayim will be handed over only to a king. Kodesh Baruch Hu will not give over his people to slaves of slaves, but only to kings. And since you are in the midst of conquering Yerushalayim, I knew that you must be a king. So this is in a similar vein. As we mentioned, with the birth of Miriam, now began a third stage. There was the stage of the Yerid of going down, the stage of the enslavement of the Shibud, and now the third stage, the stage of the Gula, of the redemption. Now this is divided in two. First of all, the birth of the Gaelim, the birth of the Redeemers. So in Shmosan Perik Beis Posuk Aleph, it states Vayelech Ish Mi Beis Levi Vayikach Es Bas Levi, that a man from the house of Levi came and he took a daughter of Levi, Vataro Isha Vatelet Bein, and she gave birth to a son, Vatera Esei Ki Teif Hu, and they saw that he was good, Vatitzpeneu Shleshi Yerochim, and they hid him for 3 months. And then Velayochlu Od Hatzfina, they couldn't hide him anymore, so she made a basket for him and she put him into the Spasa Yor, she put him on the shore of the river. And then the Torah tells us what happened. This is the birth of Moshe. Moshe was the greatest human being ever to come into the world. As we see, that it was only Moshe that was capable of taking Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. And it was only Moshe that was capable of going up to Har Sinai, to Mount Sinai, and to bring down the Torah. And the Maral writes that it's for this reason that it does not mention explicitly by his birth who his father or mother were. It says, Vayelech Ish Mi Beis Levi, a man came from the house of Levi. Vayikach Es Bas Levi. And he took a daughter of Levi, and they gave birth. Because so great was his soul, that, and so all encompassing it was, that we cannot actually relate his birth to an individual father and mother, even though he was born from Amram and Yocheved, but the Torah does not explicitly write it here at this point. Now his parents were Amram and Yocheved. They were very, very great people. Amram Godel Hador Hoyo, the Gemara says Amram was the leader of the generation, and Yocheved was the 70th to be born. When Yaakov came down, so actually he came down with 68, and with Yosef in Egypt was 69, and Yocheved was born as they entered the gates of Egypt. She was the 70th, and this represents something, that she was the one who completed the perfection of the house of Yaakov. So this is a sign, see, that she was someone special. And she gave birth to Miriam, and she gave birth to Aaron, and she gave birth to Moshe. And she was from the midwives. The two midwives which are mentioned in the Parsha are Yocheved and her daughter Miriam. And Paray tried to work through them to destroy all of the males, because he knew that a redeemer was to be born. This is his prophets and his sorcerers had told him. So he tried to work through them, and they refused. They risked their lives, but they would not harm Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash tells us even more, that Yocheved and Amram actually separated from each other. Because when the decree came that every male child should be thrown into the river, so Amram said to Yocheved, why should we have children? For what? So they should be put to death, so they separated. But it was Miriam that brought them back. Miriam came to Amram, and she said, "Zeiros kokoshim mishel Paroi. Your decree is more harsh than Paroi, because he only decreed against the males, and you're decreeing against the males and the females." So he listened to her, and he took back Yocheved, and then a miracle happened to Yocheved. Yocheved was 130 years old. Because if she came back, if she was born when Yaakov came down, if you calculate the years, it was 130, because there were 210 years in Egypt, and Moshe was 80 when he left. This means that Yocheved was 130 years, gave birth 130 years before the going out of Egypt. So a miracle took place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made her young again in order to give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe was only, he's only linked here to a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi. Levi was the special tribe. See, Levi always was the sanctified tribe. Plus Levi something else. Levi also was not enslaved. All of the other Jews were, but not Levi. This goes back all the way to Yosef's time. That Yosef never placed a tax on the priests of Paroi. So since Levi, the people of Levi represented the Obdim, those who served the Almighty by Klal Yisrael, so no tax or enslavement was placed on them. So since they were free, this that we say, that Moshe as an individual could not be linked to any individual parents. He was born to them, and it was no doubt with their schus. But he was much greater than them, even though how great they were. This the sages indicate to us several places in the Torah where it states, Moshe shokul kishibim rabuah. Moshe was equal to the 600,000 that he brought out. Which means, we said that the 600,000 people, they encompassed all of the brochas of the 70 and of Yaakov. And Moshe was equal to all 600,000. He encompassed all of Israel also. And therefore, this gives us an insight as to who this Moshe Rabbeinu was. Incidentally, when Moshe was thrown into the river, the Medrash tells us in Shir HaShirim, Parsha Aleph, Perek Aleph, Miyaldi Ivrim Zeh, and the daughter of Paroi found him. So she said, Miyaldi Ivrim Zeh, he's from the children of the Hebrews. Zehu Nefel Yor, Vein Acher Nefel Shom. He was the last one to be thrown into the river. Once he was put into the basket and put into the river, then the decree became dissolved from Paroi that all of the male children should be thrown into the river. And why was this? Because now we see another stage, a further stage of the Gula, of the redemption. Moshe was born. And already, Paroi's hands were becoming weakened. And now, we come to the last stage. And that's the Gula itself, the redemption itself. When Moshe grew up and he went out to fight the battles of Klal Yisrael, and Paroi wanted to kill him, so he fled to Midian. He stayed there a long time. He was 13 years old when he left Egypt, it's brought. And he was 80 when he came back. So he stayed there many, many years. And when he was taking care of the sheep in the desert by Midian, and he came upon the burning bush, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go back to Egypt. You are the one that will take the people out. So he said, Heim lo yaminu bi. They will not believe me. If I go and I will tell them that you have appeared to me and you are fulfilling now your promise of Abraham, that you are to be enslaved and strangers in a land which is not yours for 400 years, but then I will take you out. And now has come the time to go out. He says they won't believe me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in Tezayin, Shmeis Gimel Tezayin, Lech v'osafta zikni Yisrael. Go and gather the elders of Israel. V'yomata aleihem, and say to them, Hashem elekei aviseichem niro alai. The God of your fathers have appeared to you, has appeared to me, Elekei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, the God of Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, to say, Pokot pokadati eschem, v'ha'osui lochem b'mitzroyim. Pokot pokadati. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has remembered us and what was done to us in Egypt. Now the word pokod pokadati, the word pekido, means to remember, but it means more than that. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has remembered and he has given his full attention and he is doing something about it. It's a stronger statement than zohor, just to remember. And it's used twice. Pokod pokadati, tell them that I have remembered you in a double terminology. I have twice remembered you. And then they will believe you. So what did Hashem answer Moshe? Moshe said, I'll come and I'll tell them the whole story. They won't believe me. They'll say that I'm a fake. I'm a false prophet. Why should they believe me? Especially I haven't been back to Egypt for 67 years. So Hashem said, you tell them that I have appeared to you and I have said, Pokod pokadati eschem v'esosri lechem b'mitzroyim, that I have remembered what I promised and what has been done to you in Egypt. And use this double terminology. So Rashi brings, v'shomu lekelecho me'alehem, they will listen to you if you say it in this state, in this way. Shekvar simen zeh mosa b'yodom, because this sign is already given to them. Me'Yaakov v'mi'Yosef, from Yaakov and Yosef. Both Yaakov and Yosef use this language, that this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal them himself. We find this used twice at the end of Parshas Vayechi. At the very end, so Vayeme Yosef el Yaakov anechi meis. Yosef said to his brethren, I am going to die. V'lekim pokod yifkod eschem. Hashem will come and pokod yifkod. He will remember you, and he uses this language doubly, and bring you out of Egypt, bring you out of this land. Vayash b'Yosef v'zbnei Yisrael lemor, and Yosef made his children, his brothers, the children of Israel, swear to say, Pokod yifkod elekem eschem, that Hashem will come and he will remember you. And he used this double language again. So he told them, Hashem told Moshe, that if you use this double terminology, then they will believe you, because they had this simon. This was handed down to the leaders of the generation, ish mipi ish, one generation to another, that when the Gael comes, when the Redeemer comes, he will announce himself in this way. So Moshe did it, came to the people, and he told them this, Vayamein, and they believed him. In Pirkei d'Rablezer, Tosfos brings it in Masechta Seter, Daf Yud Gimel, but he doesn't bring it completely. In Perek Mem Ches, it's brought. This secret was given to Avram. The Avram Avinu Moson of Yitzchok, and this secret Avram gave to Yitzchok. Yitzchok Moson of Yaakov, and Yitzchok gave it to Yaakov. Yaakov gave it to Yosef, and Yosef gave it to his brethren.
V'osher ben Yaakov Mosa sod ha-geula l'serech bas Osher. And Osher, who was one of the brothers of Yosef, he gave this secret over to Sorach, Serach, who was his daughter. Now Serach was still living. This was the daughter of Osher, who was the daughter of Yaakov. She lived a long time, and she was still living when Moshe came back from Midian, and he came to the people, and Hashem gave him signs, some miracles to perform to the people, which he did, and he told them this statement. She was still living. So when Moshe came, and he did these signs to the people, so then the elders went to Serach. And they said to her, a man has come and he's performed miracles for us, and he says that we should prepare ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to take us out. She said, miracles and signs mean nothing. Somebody comes and he performs many miracles for you, or magic fix for you, don't become overwhelmed. They mean nothing. Then they told her, but he said, Pakod Pakarati Eschem, Hashem has remembered us, and he used this term, Pakod Pakarati, this double terminology. Omru Lahem, who are Ish? So she said, this is the man, Shaosi Legal as Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. This is the man who will redeem us from Egypt. Shekach Shomati Me Abba. Because this is what I heard from my father. Shenemar Pakod Pakarati Eschem. That he will come with this terminology. Immediately they believed Moshe, Hashem and Moshe, as it states, that they believed in Moshe because Pokar Hashem, Hashem has come and remembered us. And then we find one final note. At the end of Parshas Shmos, they came to Pare, Moshe and Aaron. And they told Pare, this is in Perekei Posuk Aleph, Va'acha bo Moshe v'Aaron v'yimur el Pare. After they came to the leaders of Israel, they came to Pare. And they said, Kayama Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is what the God of Israel said. Shalach es ami v'yachogili b'midbar. Send my nation out so they may make a festival to me in the desert. So Pare says, who is this God that I should listen to his voice to send out Israel? I don't know Hashem, I don't know this God, and I will not send out Israel. So they didn't have too much success with Pare, and they left. And then Pare even increased the decrease. Before, he used to give the people straw to make the bricks. Now he said that they have to go and find their own straw. And then Moshe, the Chazal tell us, the Medrash tells us that at that point Moshe returned to Midian. And he returned to Midian for 6 months. And Aaron stayed in Egypt for 6 months. Then when they came back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, go back to Egypt. Incidentally, it was at that time that Moshe, according to the Medrash, Moshe took back his wife back to Midian. Originally, he brought his wife to Egypt. And Aaron says, what are you bringing your wife here for? We onu mitztarim al harishonim, we have so many of our people enslaved. Are you bringing more? So he took his wife back. Now, in the beginning of Parshas Va'eiro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe and he says, go back to Paray. And in Pasuk Gimel, Zayin, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, Vani Akshe Eslev Paray, Mirbesi Esei Seisai, Ves Meifsai Beretz Mitzrayim. Well, excuse me, a little further than Pasuk Ches. Vayim Hashem al Meisha v'ara Aren Leimor. Hashem said to Meisha and Aren saying, Ki Yidaber Alechem Paray Leimor. When Paray speaks to you, when you speak to Paray, and he says to you, Tenu lechem eifes, and he says to you, give me a sign, make me a wonder. So then you shall tell Aaron, take your staff and throw it down and let it become a serpent. So the Chazal tell us that this was 6 months later. First they came and they spoke to Pare. And Pare wouldn't listen, and he even increased the enslavement. And then Moshe returned to Midian, and Aaron stayed in Egypt. Then they came back, and Hashem sent him a second time, and this time he said, go and make signs for Paray. The question is, why was this done in two stages? Why wasn't it done immediately? So the Medrash says, the Maral brings this in Perek Lamed, the Medrash says, Dei medeidi litzvi, my beloved is like a deer. Matzvi, just like the deer. Nigle v'cheze v'nichse. If you ever see a deer in the forest, you'll see it, and then the next minute it's concealed. Kach geyal harishon. So is it with the first Redeemer. Nigle v'cheze v'nichse. First it was revealed, and then it was concealed. And for how long? Shisha hadoshim. Tanchuna says 6 months. So if the redemption also was brought in two stages. First they came, they spoke to Paray, and then they concealed themselves again. Then they came a second time, and then from there they started to bring the signs and bring the makos, bring the 10 plagues. The reason for this, the Maral writes, is because the geula, the redemption, was so great that it could not be brought at one stage. It had to be brought little by little. And he says, that's why the terminology also was used of pokod yifkod. I will remember you, and it's brought twice. In other words, little by little. So just as we see that the Yerida, the going down to Egypt, was in stages. First it was Yosef, and then it was the brothers, and then it was Yaakov and the 70 people. And also the enslavement was in stages. First, Yaakov died, so some trouble started. And then Yosef died, and more trouble started. And then all of the brothers died, and Levi died. And then Vayoko Melech Hodosh, a new king. And then came in bitterness. So the redemption also was in stages. Pakod Yifkod. Not all at once, but little by little. And this was because of the greatness of the redemption, that it could not be done at one stage. And therefore it's like a Deme Deidi Litzvi, my endeared one. This refers to the Goel, the Redeemer. He is like a deer. He appears, and then he becomes concealed. He appears again, and then he becomes concealed. It's brought also that the Gula Ha'asido, the redemption which will be come to us again, also will be brought in stages. Because of its greatness, it will be impossible to be brought at one time. Also there, a double terminology also is used. This is also brought in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. The word there is tzemach. Tzemach refers to the geula, the redemption which is to be come. And also a double terminology is used there. So the redemption that is lost in Lovay also will come like it did in Egypt, through stages slowly and slowly. And then we have what we started with, an Aris Parsha, in Parshas Bay, that's this week, which states, and this is on Posuk Mem, Parshas Yud Beis, Posuk Mem, Umeshav B'nei Yisrael, Asher Yoshvu B'mitzroyim, Shleishim Shona V'Aba Mea Shona. The Klal Yisrael dwelled in Egypt 430 years. Now the 430 years again does not refer to the enslavement, because that was only 210 years, and does not refer to the birth of Yitzchok, where the decree began, because that was 400 years. But here Hashem is counting to the Bris Ben Abesorim, to when he first made the decree to Abraham, which was also on the 15th of Nisan. From that time it was 430 years. And at the end of the 430 years, on this very day, all of the hosts of Hashem went out of Egypt. This night was guarded, set aside to take out Klal Yisrael from Egypt. It was on this night that Hashem spoke to Abraham, and it was on this day that the angels came to tell Avram and Sora that Yitzchok would be born the following year, and it was on this day, the following year, that Yitzchok was born. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Chishev HaSaketz, he counted. He counted the 430 years from the time of the decree, and the 400 years from the time that Yitzchok was born. And Hu HaLailo Azel Hashem Shmurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'day Resham. And this night will be guarded for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for Yisrael, all of the generations, as a Yom Geula. This gives us a review of all of these sedras that deal with the Yeridus Mitzrayim, the going down into Egypt, the Shibud Mitzrayim, the enslavement, and the Gula. And we should be zecher that just like we saw great redemptions and great miracles from Egypt, that again we should see great redemption miracles and great redemptions from all of the Golios that Klal Yisrael is found in today.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.